what I want to do, you know, to let you go to sleep as fast as possible, but briefly, for the private group that's aware of a lot of, you know, the importance of what you were talking about already. In the midst of this environment with the pandemic stuff, what do you do to keep yourself centered so that you're not overly distressed by it and disoriented?
Well, when COVID was first announced, I wasn't distressed at all because I, like I said, I've been teaching about how to heal and protect yourself from bioweapons for 16 years now. So it didn't concern me at all. But what was interesting was everybody around me was flipping out, including my wife. Right. Wow. So the biggest challenge for me was getting the people around me to understand that this was not something you had to be afraid of. All you have to do is put together the tools that you need to protect yourself from it, and you'll be fine.
Yes.
And so now this has been going on for 2 years, and people are pretty tired of it. And people are kind of just out of exhaustion, I think, are losing a lot of their fear around this. I mean, here in Florida, you know, nobody wears masks hardly at all. And, we don't have any mandates or anything. So it's very much life is normal here. But occasionally I do come across people wearing masks still in Florida, and you can see the fear in their eyes. Right. And it's because they're plugged into the mainstream media and drinking the Kool-Aid, you know, and believing all that nonsense. So the way, I think for everybody listening, you know, the way to maintain their health and happiness depends on where you're at. If you're in a lockdown state like California, I've got friends out in California that are just fine, and they're not, there's no lockdowns or masks where they're living because they're living in places where the people don't buy into it.
So yeah, more out in the country, kind of?
Well, not even that. You know, like Los Angeles, you've got all of this lockdown nonsense. You've got all of the troubles there. And an hour south of there, you have none of that. I've got a friend living in, I forget the name of the town, but it's a beautiful coastal resort town. And it's well-to-do. There's a lot of wealthy people there. None of that is going on there. Wow. There's no masks wearing or any of that stuff. No restaurants requiring it, et cetera, et cetera. And I have another friend who lives maybe a half an hour south of him. Same thing. And she's living in a beach town. Everything's great. And there are people, because it's in California and they're listening to the governor and all the news media, they're pumping the fear. There are some people buying into it, but for the most part, these people are living normal lives and not, you know, so it's, you know, you make the choice about where you live and what you buy into. And so if it means moving, like there's tons of people moving to Florida, as you know,
I know,
from all these places. And the great thing about it is it's great for us because they're the smarter ones. They're the more awake ones, you know?
Yeah, true.
So like we just had an amazing organic restaurant open up here in New Smyrna Beach, which I've been waiting 21 years for. And finally,
wonderful.
And guess what? They're from California.
So DeSantis is not doing mandates, but can private businesses there do mandates?
No, they made it illegal.
Wow.
And he didn't just do some executive order. This is one of the things I love about him. He didn't just do all this dictatorial executive order crap over and over. He got the legislature to have an emergency session, and they passed all these laws to make mask mandates in schools and businesses illegal, and vaccination mandates are illegal, and all this stuff. Wow. So, no, it's like he's an amazing, amazing guy.
He needs to live forever and remain governor, right?
Oh, yeah. And you know the powers that be are doing their darndest to take him out. And so I regularly meditate and send him healing, healthy energy. And that's the thing, you know, when you listen to him speaking publicly, the thing that I see is I know just the kind of stuff that I do. I know the kinds of attacks and things that I get. So you can imagine that he's getting hit with energy weapons all the time and psychic attacks and death threats and, you know, probably real attempts on his life. You know, his wife recently got cancer. It wouldn't surprise me one bit if that wasn't an energy weapon attack.
Wow.
But, you know, these guys, they understand the game, and they do what they can within their realm to play the game. And, but you know, as far as people listening here, you may need to move, You know, you may need to go somewhere. You may need to quit your job and create your own business, you know, in a whole new paradigm. You know, it's like if you're still contributing to the enslavement of planet Earth, working for some big company that's enslaving people and causing harm, you're part of the problem and you're going to have the karma that goes along with it. So, you know,
yeah,
people got to get out of these positions.
That's one way the bad guys are not very smart is they're not, they don't think karma applies to them.
Right, right. And so, you know, you the more that you live in a frequency of love, you know, fear is the opposite of love, basically. And so, so the more that you can operate in a frequency of love and be loving and practice being loving, and that may, and standing up for your principles and your morals, I mean, that may mean blowing the whistle, quitting your job, moving somewhere. And it may be difficult. It may be really hard. I mean, when I moved to Florida, that was a position I was in 22 years ago. I was in a job working in the medical system. I couldn't stand it. I hated it. I was probably in there 4 years too long. I was miserable. My soul was withering and I had to get the hell out. And I quit my job and I moved to Florida. I didn't move to Florida because of Ron DeSantis 22 years ago. I moved to Florida because it was warmer and there were palm trees. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And also I wanted to, actually the real reason is I wanted to be in close proximity to a pottery teacher because I was getting out of the corporate job and became a potter. So that's what brought me to Florida. But it was hard. It was really hard. I mean, you know, I went from a high paying job to making nothing. And in fact, I burned through my savings in 6 months. My wife was screaming and threatening divorce because I was losing money hand over fist and on and on and on. You know, it was extremely challenging, but I knew what I wanted. And I knew that that old life was not viable for me. And I went through hell, you know, especially with my wife. My God, man, she crucified me every day over it. Mm. And, but now looking back, like she even admits, it's like, yeah, it was the right decision. And so now she trusts me when I say, hey, we need to move, or we need to do this or that, the other.
Yeah.
She listens. We don't argue about it anymore.
Yeah. It worked.
It was that old fear programming, you know? Right. So it's not easy. It's not easy making big changes, but it's a whole lot worse not making the changes.
So you have to be true to yourself.
That's right.
I mean, most people in America and probably a lot of the world are involved in working for companies that are helping destroy the world.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Those are most of the good paying jobs.
Yeah, that's right. That's absolutely right. It's like I tell my wife when she was screaming and yelling at me about make more money back in the day. Yeah. I said, you know, if I worked in the medical system, I'd be rich.
That's right. Yeah,
because when I worked in the medical system, I had a good paying job, full benefits, all kinds of stuff. You know,
you do even better now because you could just go on the TV and say safe and effective and, you know, don't listen to the natural food.
That's right. Great. So you have to understand that if you're doing anything that's truly helping humanity, chances are it's not going to be rewarded by the systems, you know.
So one of the things I think we need to find is how to put those together.
Well, the way that we do it is by collaborating with each other, the people that are not participating in that system, we have to help and support each other, and not just emotionally or morally, but also financially. You know, we're caught in this financial slavery system. As long as we're in it, we need to be sending each other business and helping each other out in all the ways that we can.
Yeah, I totally agree. So
creating community. I mean, that's super important now. Because depending on how things go, I mean, I'm lucky here in Florida. I don't see that, you know, vaxxed people are going to be corralled up and, you know, put in concentration camps or whatever. It probably won't happen anywhere, but
well, but some places still would like it to. Yeah.
Right. But even if nothing happens, I mean, there's still all these people out there that have been vaxxed and drinking the Kool-Aid, and they think that unvaxxed people are the problem. And so I'm just not going to be able, like, I've got friends who won't have anything to do with me because I haven't been vaccinated, right? And quite honestly, I don't want to have anything to do with my friends who have been vaxxed because they're shedding spike proteins in nanotech and I don't want to pick it up.
Wouldn't it be nice if there's a way to get through to Ron DeSantis that the vaccines are 100% negative and that the public needs to be told?
Man, I have wanted so bad to go and share some technologies that I've developed with him and help protect him.
So many of these smart doctors, you were talking about intelligence. Many of the really advanced, brave ones that are exposing the current vaccine, they think all the others are great. And they're in a big hurry to say, I'm not anti-vaccine.
Right.
They should be. And they're suffering from the programming they got in medical school and everywhere on television that they don't know.
Right.
If that could be exposed, that's one of those subliminal ways maybe we could influence some of these people.
Well, it's like Dr. Robert Monroe. He's out there exposing how dangerous the vaccines are. But then in the second breath, he says, well, I've been vaxxed.
And exactly.
He was probably vaxxed with saline solution, you know, but still, and he invented the mRNA technology, supposedly.
I haven't heard him apologize for that yet.
I know. I think that's why he's exposing it. He probably feels guilty
some
about
responsibility.
It. Mm-hmm.
A little bit of awareness of karma.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to develop ourselves, I guess, you know, and say support each other.
But practically speaking, for your listeners, I think we need to, you know, really make an effort to gather together, support each other, send each other business, share, learn from each other, and then, you know, change your circumstances if they're not working out for you and they're not what you want them to be. Just understand it may be tough to make the change, but it's even tougher if you don't make the change in the long term.
Right. What would you invite people to explore at Fresh and Alive besides the Rest Shield, which I can speak for? And, you know, I've had some experience with the Home Shield and some stuff like that.
Well, I'm getting ready to launch some new detox programs because whether you've been vaxxed or not, you need to keep your immune system strong. You know, I mean, China's already talking about using bioweapons. You know, they're not admitting that COVID is a bioweapon, but they're publicly talking about using bioweapons. So that means until all of this nonsense is stopped and these people that are doing this stuff are put out of power and stopped.
Yeah.
We've got to maintain our health and stay really strong, particularly older people. And because these bioweapons hit older people much harder. And so that means, you know, that means detoxification. That means nutrifying the body and building the body up and mineralizing the body, et cetera, et cetera. And when you do that, you really don't have to worry about picking up any kind of illness from whatever kind of source. And or you're much more robust and able to handle it. Even like psychic attacks, for example, psychic attacks don't really work on me because I've developed my mind to the point where if any of these entities come around, it's like, don't even bother.
Well, because you're not going to get anywhere. Don't like it anyway.
Right.
Because you've got the wrong frequency.
That's right. And I'm surrounded by my devices. So that right there keeps entities and stuff away.
Yeah.
But so I would say to people, you know, practically speaking, as far as products on our website, I would say actually go to freshandaliveclub.com and join the membership. It's only a one-time $5 fee. There's no subscription. And I will be posting information. I've already got information or posts about how to protect yourself against COVID. I've got a six-hour webinar on COVID and how to protect yourself from it. And I've got a lot of free information there. I'm going to be having more information on our products and solutions there. But we'll have very, very comprehensive detox programs and nutrition programs there in coming days and weeks that people can use in practically. And it's really amazing because I'm like, you know, after almost dying last July, I spent the ensuing 6 months really building up my body and my immune system much more. And man, it's made a huge difference.
Yeah.
It's like so much more robust. I mean, it's like, you know, I was talking to you. I stayed up all night long the night before last. I didn't go to bed at all. I worked all during the day. And then I did a three-hour meditation with Shreyans Daga in the evening. And I thought at some point I'm just going to collapse, but I never did. And I could feel this energy flowing through me and I was fine. And then I went to bed and got a good night's sleep and I woke up and I was okay. In the past, that would have just demolished me, you know.
Yeah, you're in better shape now.
Yeah, so we've got to do these things, you know, clean out the body, get these toxins out, build it up, do these practices, mental, spiritual practices, strengthen the mind and the emotions. And then, you know, you just stay out of fear. It's like I've never been fearful. you know, I see things before they're coming and I get solutions to them. So when it comes, it's like, okay, no big deal.
And there's also, once you understand it, there's no situation that I can think of that fear is useful.
Right.
Even if there's a real danger and it's going to damage you, you can deal with it better if you're not dealing, you know, promoting fear.
Right. Well, one thing I remember years ago, Barbara Marciniak, who was a friend and a neighbor of mine, she channeled this Pleiadian stuff. She wrote a bunch of books. Some people may have heard of her. She wrote a book called Bringers of the Dawn and several others. And she never did private readings, but one year she gave private readings, private channelings for all the people in her local group for their birthday. So I got one for my birthday. And I remember very vividly when these Pleiadians came through her, and I believe that it really was something other than her, because like right before my eyes, she started morphing into an ET. And I kept like shaking my head and trying to make it go away, and it wouldn't. But what they said, one of the things they said to me, I never forgot, was they said, "Ken, if you humans would stop being so afraid of being sliced and diced and fried and sauteed, you would be so much farther along." Is it if you, if you open your front door and there's a lion out right in front of your front door, okay, be afraid. But if there's not something imminently threatening you, there's no reason for fear.
Well, and I'm saying that's true. And you could take it one step further. Even if there's a lion there, how is it going to help you to be afraid?
Right.
I mean, stay clear and find a weapon or something. Or
well, sometimes it might motivate you to take action that you might need to do, right?
But
again, it doesn't have to be that way.
The adrenaline, I think, could be useful.
Right.
But the fear is like, you know, tying yourself up in knots. And
I agree.
I don't see that as that great.
And I, speaking of that, I met this girl who was from Alaska, and I hosted Barbara Marciniak at my house one time.
Yeah.
And this girl came all the way by bus from Alaska to attend Barbara's channeling.
Wow.
And obviously she was not your typical person. And she told me that she wanted to conquer her fears. So she went out and camped out in the wilderness in Alaska with nobody else, just all by herself. And she said that she came across all kinds of big animals that could kill her, bears and all kinds of stuff, mountain lion and things. And she said that, and she got close to them within like 20, 30 feet of them. And she said that because she didn't get in fear, they didn't bother her.
Yeah.
They just went on their merry way.
There's some really good stories about stuff like that. And there's, a book called, what is it? It's a book about this guy writing about two of his lifetimes. No, I'm forgetting, but one of them was in the area of Mount Shasta, and he was discovering what was going on in the inside. And he met somebody who was working in the gold mines or gold in the rivers during the day. And he looked about 30, and it turned out that he was 115.
Yeah.
And they were out hiking in trails on Mount Shasta to talk about, you know, what he knew. And animals would come up. This black panther came up and just be real friendly, like a domesticated animal.
Wow.
And he would be patting them. And the guy writing the book was kind of surprised at that. But I think that really, really can happen.
Yeah.
And even with worse creatures, I don't know, humans, it can change their behavior too. The really dangerous ones.
That's been my life experience, because I don't think the way most people do. Even when I encounter threatening people, I don't react the way that people, you know, that one might expect. And so I've been in many, many, many situations that could have been very dangerous, and I was just fine because I didn't react in fear, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I think I mentioned this. This is a story I told in my webinar that I did recently about Martin Luther King, working with Martin Luther King's family. Years ago when I was in college at Arizona State, I met these black guys who I worked with. And, you know, I grew up in North Carolina, and I grew up around black people. I grew up, you know, like right in between the projects and where like Duke University professors live. So I was in this, both of these worlds, and I went to school in a 90% black school. And so I just was immersed in the culture, and everybody was nice at school. You know, it was actually, I never had a problem with the black people. It was It was the rednecks that had problems with.
Yeah.
And so I just got immersed in that culture. And so when I come to Arizona, these black kids that work with me, they thought I was completely faking it to try and suck up to them. You know, they called it fronting. They thought I was fronting. And I wasn't. That's the way I was, because I grew up from fourth grade through high school graduation, and mostly with black kids around me. And so these guys, because they thought I was pretending, they thought, we're going to teach this kid a lesson. So they took me into the worst projects in all of Phoenix, place that they were afraid to go to. This place called the LULACs, which is an acronym for a League of Urban Latin American Citizens. And if anybody from the LULACs is listening, no disparagement to you. As a matter of fact, I had a great time there, and the people there were wonderful. But these kids, because their perception was, oh, that's the dangerous place to go in the hood, they took me there, even though they were from the hood. This was like worse than the hood where they were from. They took me there to scare me, right? But they didn't tell me, of course, right? So we get there in my old raggedy station wagon, and we get out, and we immediately went to the basketball court, and there were some guys playing a game of hoops there. So I got out and started playing hoops with them, and they were real nice. They let me in. We played ball for a while, and I was wearing my Arizona State track outfit. So that got me cred right away, because I was an athlete at Arizona State, and they were fans of Arizona State. So played basketball, had a great time, and then after a few hours, it got to be about 2 o'clock in the morning, and these guys are like, well, okay, I guess we're done with this. So they're like, hey, you want to go back to our apartment and smoke some dope? And I'm like, sure. So we go back to their apartment, and we stay up in the wee hours smoking pot and having a good old time, and get done about 4 o'clock in the morning. And me and my friends go back out to the car. We get in the car, and the moment the doors on that car close, these black kids that took me there start screaming like, oh my God, are you kidding me? I don't believe this white boy. Can you believe this white boy? We bring him to LULACs. He starts making friends. And that's when they told me that, you know, they brought me there to scare me, and they couldn't believe that I actually made friends in, you know, in the worst projects in Phoenix.
Probably thought you
were. It was because I grew up around projects. I used to run through the projects in North Carolina.
No, you know what I found too with fear is if you look at it in frequency terms, it tends to draw into physical manifestation what you're afraid of.
Right.
And
if I had shown up on that basketball court, afraid of these kids,
somebody would have shown up to beat you up or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you have no feeling, it's just like the water experiment.
Well, to me, it was just like some playmates. Hey,
yeah.
I can play basketball with these guys.
Everybody wants to know how to manifest things. They're doing it all the time.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, what you're habitually used to putting out.
Yeah, when you treat people with love, they respond, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Because that's in them too. And they don't even know that they're being affected by you. Mm-hmm. But it's controlling amazing things.
Yeah.
So, well, I kept you too long, I'm sure. But
I'm getting hungry. I'm going to go have dinner.
I want you to be able to eat and sleep. But it would be nice to stay in touch more than every 10 years if we can.
Yeah, well, definitely. Like I said, just, you know, I can be hard to get a hold of in real time on the phone, but just email me and then we can definitely arrange to have time.
Yeah, we're working on the same project.
Yeah, yeah. I love hanging out and talking with you, Richard, anytime.
So have a good sleep tonight and a good dinner.
All right. Thank you, sir. You have a good day.